What's up, y'all? This is Tony Powell, and you're listening to Powell to the People podcast. Powell to the People podcast, episode 126. I'm obviously having a little aneurysm as we speak, as we begin the show, but that's okay. I'm joined again by the best crew in the whole podcasting universe. When I want to know what's going on with anything New York City transit related, there's no expert I trust more than my cousin, Mr. Keith Powell. What's going on, Keith?
I'm good, cuz. How you guys feeling today?
I told you I'm having an aneurysm. I'm fine, though. And when I want to know what's going on with the local TV news beat, the director of choice, the guy I go to, my favorite expert, my brother, Mr. Mark Powell's in the house. What's going on, Mark?
What's up, fam? What's up, world?
And when I want to know what's going on in the local New York City real estate scene, the guy I trust, the expert we know, is Mr. Eddie Kane Jr., my cousin, Mr. Derek Powell's in the house. What's going on, DP?
Everything is good. Always good to be in the cipher with the cats. How's everybody doing?
Well, we missed you last week, but you know, as they say in show business, the show must go on, and it did. But I'm glad you're back this week for a reason, and this is kind of like part two of the, I'm going to call it the Ballad of Juanita. Last week,
wow,
my cousin, your brother, shared some things with us, you know, that just kind of left me. You know, it was a cliffhanger. It kind of left me hanging for the entire week. And I said, I had to wait till you got back because I need to fill in some blanks with this particular story. And how just remind us, Keith, okay. how did we get to talking about this particular situation?
I watched Sylvia Love last Sunday night, and I said, that was my life. That could have been my life then.
Yes. Now, for those of you not familiar with Sylvie's Love, it stars Tessa Thompson and Nandi Asomugha, former Los Angeles Raider, and Kerry Washington's hubby, the guy who I want to be the next Black Panther. And it was a great movie. It's a great movie, a great romance story, great portrayal of Black love. I thought it was a really, really well done situation. And you know, when Keith said, yeah, I watched, you know, Sylvie's Love, and it reminded me of my situation. I thought, wow, you know what I mean? I've heard this name. I know people that listen to this podcast who have been listening and have taken this journey with us have heard the name Juanita more than once coming out of Keith's mouth. So I was under the impression that this was some torrid love affair, two star-crossed lovers who were not destined to be together. Fate just had it so that they could not be together, and through no fault of their own, life circumstances, they were victims of life circumstances, they were forced apart, never to consummate this great love. Then, upon investigation and query last week, I find out that there was no great, what you'd call, love affair.
I didn't have enough time.
That's still, yeah.
Boy, that is his refrain.
Wow. We're getting to that. there was no great love affair because apparently Keith was in love with Juanita. He was about 14, 15. She was about, I don't know, 16, 17. And she gave him the old, you too young for me. I like you as a friend. Get the stepping. So all this time, I'm thinking that this is some, you know, like I said, they dated for a long time. And they, as I said, you know, life just, nah, you know, life circumstances just kind of forced them apart. So I want to know from you, Derek, tell us the story. Tell us the Ballad of Juanita. How did this thing happen? And what were your observations as it was going on?
Okay. This is, first of all, I don't remember them sharing a soda pop together. I don't remember that. But Juanita lived in the next, that's reality. Juanita lived in the next building from us. And she, honestly, she was gorgeous. I think, you know how sometimes they say it's a figment of your imagination? And I think it was just like all in his mind. You know, like it's like daydreaming. Daydreaming, wake up, Muttley, you're dreaming again. And it was probably more of that than anything. And for the kids who don't understand Muttley, I'm going to bring it a little closer because with the internet. Right now, one of the classics of all time is Zap Computer Love. And I think that is the closest that my brother has had any sort of affair in his mind with Juanita was Computer Love. That was it. But honestly, I don't remember when he mentioned this the first time. If you go back to the video, the tapings, I was shocked. I'm like, huh? And I don't know how I never remember him liking her, because I remember she had a boyfriend. And I don't want to call the guy's name out. She wound up marrying him, and he wound up not being any good for her. But when you sleep in the next
not
twin
enough
bed,
time.
Oh, well, I don't know how much time you needed. We was in the next bedroom, and I don't remember you ever saying, "Hey, man, I'm going across." You know, she lived on the low floor, so he could have either hollered at her out of the window, and could have had a conversation that nobody would have heard. I don't know if he's ever done that, but I don't remember. I just don't remember. I don't remember him ever. Hey, man, let's, you know, can I get you, you know, give you a free ride on my bus when you were driving the bus? I don't remember nothing like that. So it's news to me, like it's news to y'all. Oh, she was in Cali by then?
Maybe.
They were in California by then. When she got married, they moved to California.
Yeah, maybe it was like Inception. So, it was just all like a dream sequence. Actually didn't happen. It was like, you know, he thought all this stuff happened, but it was just a good old dream.
It's, the only thing about that is that she was, I knew who she was, but I never knew him to like her. And it takes me back. Our grandfather, when he was alive, my brother, your first cousin, used to go up to 155th Street to see a girl, his woman lived up there.
The A to the D, baby.
That's a hump. And I remember our grandfather saying, "Why are you going up that far? So many women in Brooklyn, somebody go up there and take your shoes from you." And you would think when your grandfather gives you information like that about traveling and a possible robbery, if there ever was a time to say something to Juanita, that would have been it. But he never, when I say that, that was a shock. But I guess that was, you know, just a dream, a fantasy that, you know, he thought
that. It wasn't a dream
or
fantasy, because I went to her, I wrote her a letter.
Oh, this is news.
The letter. Okay, I'm letting you know. She read the letter. Okay. Uh-huh. One Wednesday night after the meeting, she approached me. And
okay.
She informed me that I was a little bit too young for her, but if I was older, she wouldn't mind dating me.
So let me ask you
but
this.
As okay, time went on, I didn't have enough time, because then she married that guy.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So you had to be, what, about 16, 17?
No, I think about 14, 15.
So at 14 or 15, are you using your moniker Theodore? Did you say this is from Theodore?
No.
What's this? I don't know what this is.
No.
I'm gonna pause this, because this needs to be further investigated, because now there's new evidence being brought to the court here, and I just need to know, what they call it, the legal value of this particular piece of evidence is regarding Theodore.
I'm the baby of the bunch. So I've never heard of Theodore. Anthony, have you ever heard of Theodore?
This is brand new evidence introduced to court.
I have never heard of Theodore.
This is the first I've ever heard of Theodore.
So let me help y'all out. I think it was probably after a Cooley High movie that we saw. You know, that's when you go to that hotel, you see the movie. Well, anyway, we had met some girls. We're like kids. And, you know, everybody goes around and introduces themselves. They get to Keith. He goes, "Hi, I'm Theodore." Well, if you didn't put your real name, that's why I was asking him, did you use your moniker, Theodore, or did you go with Keith? Because maybe she didn't know who Theodore was, or she heard who Theodore was and she wanted to meet Theodore, but you decided to use your real name. I don't know. But that was his moniker.
He went with
now
a
you have
name.
To ask, you got to ask, I need to supervise, I need supervision to ask him right now, why did he say his name was Theodore? Supervisor, you got the floor.
I'm curious.
Yes, you know, I want
to
know.
You do need to probe this.
Yes.
You know, okay, so you meet, so this is downtown Brooklyn.
You know, no. We were actually at a party, Derek.
Okay.
We were at a party.
So we at a party. Why did you say Theodore? We want to know.
Because that's my alter ego. That's my other name. That I always use.
Oh my god! I have never ever heard him say that. Even like in a half joking. We've had many a dinner, tons of 125 podcasts. Never have we ever heard this.
There's a lot of things y'all don't know about.
Yeah, you keep hearing deep secrets. That's what I'm trying to say right now. You hanging on some deep stuff. Theodore. So, like Teddy. So Teddy would be the nickname for a guy named Theodore.
Before the Cosby Show, yeah.
Or Pendergrass.
Way before the Huxley got that name.
Yes.
Way before then.
This is Teddy Pendergrass time. That's what Theodore is.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Right.
Theodore Pendergrass. So Teddy. So Teddy, tell us, how did you come up with the name Theodore?
What
was the inspiration for the name Theodore?
I think I started using that name in 1977 or 76.
But there's a million names out there.
Right.
You didn't want to use you didn't want to play with your own name, like KP or something. No.
Yeah. Theater was the name. I really like the name.
I think one of many from judging how things are going.
Yeah, I'm starting to see.
That's the only other one I use. Oh no, I have another name. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have another one. Sorry.
Man, the more you talk, the more incriminated you get. You should never wind up on the stand.
I think you should. I think you know what your lawyer. You should seek counseling right now. Like get a lawyer.
Never put him on the stand. We are all going to jail. Keith's on the stand. We are all going to jail.
Everybody gets locked up. Now I don't know if you guys realize this. It's not like it's like my mama's thing, but that's a Keith thing. What is Corey's name now? Cornelius Giles.
Yeah, it's
think about that. They crazy on that side. Even though we brothers. Cuz when you look up Corey, cuz when I was trying to, you know, when I got new to Facebook, I said let me befriend my nephew, and I couldn't find him even though I saw him, and then I'm like, "Well, who the hell is Cornelius?" And that's him. So I'm like, "Okay, so I got a Theodore and a Cornelius. I have no clue." Father and son duo. They don't, neither one of them know who they are, but y'all know I'm the same old DP, baby.
Same old DP.
All right, so what I gathered from last week, Keith, and now your brother has corroborated the story. This Juanita lived directly across from y'all.
Yes, she did.
Yes.
And yet your brother has made the statement that he never even saw y'all sharing a soda together.
Correct.
Nah, I didn't share soda. No.
Hold on. Or a bag of Bon-Ton potato chips. Go.
But we shared a conversation.
Those were like 10 cents, though. Those were only 10 cents. Bon-tons.
That's my point. That's my point. Go.
Wow. Share conversation. Now, how much conversation could you have had where this letter became necessary to introduce yourself? You're like, Hov, you allow me to introduce myself. How much conversation could you have had that she had to know who you are via letter?
Because at that time, I was a little shy. That's what that was. That's where the letter came in. I was a little shy. So I wrote out on the letter what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say, though, for that time period, the letter is a classy, I guess, right move at that time. That's sort of like the way you kind of get it. Provided you can spell.
Did you hand it to her directly, or did you slide it under her door, or how did she get the letter?
You know what's crazy? I put it in her mailbox.
Okay.
How did you do that?
Well, back then they had the way, you know, the mailbox, you could slide it in.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of the key. Okay. All right.
Yeah. You know, the old mailbox they used to break in.
So right now, I can tell you the reason why she said no. You couldn't even go for a 10-cent stamp, nigga. Come on, play. You slid it in. You didn't go. How you going to handle a woman like that and you can't get a stamp? She's supposed to say no, player. Oh, my goodness, man. This story gets better and better, big bro. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. According to Keith, now you just corroborated this. Juanita is a very attractive woman. She's Asian, black and Asian.
Okay. Yes, T Tough piece. And as the kids would say, dime piece.
So it was understandable that he would be smitten by her. Now, in terms of Juanita, because again, that was aspirational. Because the girlfriend I remember from the time we was kids was a girl named Clyde. Remember Clyde, Keith?
Name slipped my mind. I can't remember.
I don't remember Clyde. Who's that?
Keith.
I can't remember. I'm up in age now.
Okay.
I'm drawing blanks.
Drawing blanks. All right. Because remember, you don't remember that, Mark? When he told us his girlfriend's name was Clyde, I thought it was like, okay.
No, I don't remember that one.
Me neither. I guess I'm the only one then. All right.
Well, go ahead. Share. Man, share. Okay. I'm curious.
No, I remember a time we were sitting in my room and we just saw my girlfriends and, y'all going back and forth with each other. And you said it, Derek. You said his girlfriend's name. He has a girlfriend named Clyde. I thought, Clyde? How you get what girl's name Clyde?
Her name was Sydney, S-Y-D. Not Clyde. Sydney. Sydney Stevens. That was her name.
But you always give last names.
Exactly.
Where's the social at this point?
All right. So yeah, exactly. Okay. You got the address?
No, I got the address.
Sydney Stevens before Juanita, and then that was the evolution.
I'm straight now.
I'm just saying because here's why this became a conversation, Derek. He did see the movie. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Sylvie's Love.
No, I haven't seen it
yet.
But
go ahead. Keith was, he was disturbed by it. He couldn't sleep. He woke up in the middle of the night staring at the ceiling based on this movie. And he thought to himself, that could have been me and Juanita. And me and my brother tried to talk him off the ledge. We were like, yo, you know what? You sleeping next to you. I mean, what you doing?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, you live in the same house. You realize this podcast goes out to millions.
Exactly.
But, he was adamant. He was adamant, saying, this was faded in the stars for me. So I was like, okay, all right, And then as we started to probe, and again, I remember many podcasts ago, we were talking about, if you could go back in time and change anything. That was I forget which episode that was, but that was the premise. If you could go back in time and change any aspect of your life, what would it be? And this Juanita came up again. So I'm under the impression now that neither soda nor a bag of Bon-Ton chips. Now, for people that don't live in New York City, there was a time in the 70s and the 80s where Bon-Ton chips were like in every bodega all over the city. I mean, it was like they were like cheap chips, and they were sitting there in between the brand names Wise and Lay's, but you could get some Bon-Ton, but Bon-Ton was like the hood chip, and they were great. 10 cents for a bag of barbecue, and it was like a bigger bag than the other bags.
Yeah, along with your pineapple soda or your grape drink.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, your pineapple soda. Yeah, exactly. CNC soda,
Tahitian fruit.
Oh, yeah, don't go
for the Canada Dry. I love that.
Yeah,
Tahitian treat. Yeah, so I mean, that you could for $1, you get full. You not only a dollar would get you full, and you'd still have stuff left over when you later in the day. You could buy them big giant sundae. You can get a quart of sundae for 25 cents. But I'm saying he had the opportunity. Because I asked him, I asked him a similar question last week. I asked him, I said, like when the hamburger truck came by, you never went by and got it like, ice cream or shared some fries or something like that, when the dude came by with the truck.
Nope, I had to take care of myself first. Come on now. Y'all know that. I was a husky little kid. Come on now. I ain't sharing no food with nobody.
Hey, Anthony, he just gave another reason why she said no. The word husky.
Big boned. So, all right. So, and when this person, this is something that he did do, Keith. Derek, he said he went to the wedding. You did go to the wedding, right, Keith?
Yes, I did. I went to the wedding.
Okay. And you were invited?
No, I wasn't invited.
You went with somebody else.
I wasn't invited. I went with Tony Derek.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So wait a minute.
We'll give his last name out too, since we always drop last names.
Hey, now, I know what Tony you're talking about. But how do you
go put his last name out there?
How do you go to a wedding of a young lady who you're infatuated with? What you visualize you saying yes? I do.
No, I'll visualize me saying no.
Nah, he was gonna stand up and scream, and you know, when they ask if anybody sees any reason why these two shouldn't be married, speak now, forever hold your peace. He was getting ready to jump up, you know. I guess Tony held him down.
He sure did. Well, and this is what he told me. He said, "Please don't act up. You're my guest. Don't act."
So wait a minute. So Tony knew about how you felt. I didn't. But why you didn't tell your brother?
Yeah.
But you never told me. Why not?
I don't know. We never had that conversation. I think because you always tease me. You always tease me.
Well, that's possible. That's
why we had that conversation. Tony encouraged me. He didn't tease me.
Okay. What was his words of encouragement?
Go after.
Act up was his words of encouragement.
You know. But when we went to the wedding, he said, please don't show out, please.
All right, so she read the letter, and then she let you down gently.
Yes.
And that was it.
That was it till the, till now.
Man.
Okay. Damn. There was no follow-up after that?
No, that's when she started dating the other dude.
Okay. This is why you should have come to me. They just date. You're supposed to still holler at her, man. Come on, big bro. You're killing the game here, man. You're killing me. So that had to be over, what, 30, 40 years ago, right?
Yeah,
close to 35 years ago.
Yeah, about 35 years.
Oh, my. And you just brought it. So you've been living with that pain. Oh, my goodness. Man. You ain't supposed to. You're a Powell. You're not supposed to be going through that, man. And then you watch a movie.
No pain.
So wait a minute. So you watch a movie 2 weeks ago, and you can't get no shut-eye because you're visualizing. Your visualization.
All these feelings came well. Yeah.
They came out,
came
well, man.
And back up. He saw the movie, and he had a flashback. Which is what we learned last week. I mean, again.
Wow.
Where's that dirt?
Did you get water?
What happened last week was
there ain't no water in my eyes. No. No.
He saw the movie last week. I was talking about the movie. I was talking about it as a movie. I was like, yeah, it's a great movie. And that, just as I introduced it at the beginning of the podcast, I said, you know, it's well made. It's a great cinematic depiction of black love. I thought it was a cool story. It was a great romance. It was fun to watch. Both well acted by both parties. The stars, Tessa Thompson and Nande Asamoah. And that's as far as it went for me. I didn't realize that it was for him. It was a traumatic experience. he was reliving some childhood trauma that I thought, you know, and again, as I said, I thought that the Juanita relationship was some, you know, heavy.
Was it a relationship?
It was a relationship. Exactly. Yeah, thanks, Mom. Was a relationship where, you know, that, you know, life circumstances just separated them and moved them apart.
You're not listening. Didn't have enough time.
That's your next tattoo. I didn't have enough time. It's going to be your next tattoo. You keep saying that over and over again.
You live next door to the girl, man. You walk by her building every day to get home. You couldn't go home unless you walked past the building. Yes or no?
That's true.
Yes.
Okay. So that means every single day of your life, you had an opportunity to, and I guess she lived on a lower floor, so you could have hollered at it. As Derek said, I mean, you know how it is in the courtyard of the projects. You can holler at her from the street, and she can hear you, open the window, and yell back at you, even if she don't let you in.
Hey, supervisor, let me describe this to you. She lived on the second floor on the Lafayette Avenue side. It is humanly impossible not to walk by her window to get to my building unless you was across the street. It wasn't going to happen. So every day he comes out of the train station, he walks underneath her window. You think he would have threw a pebble at the window? You know, come on, man.
I did. What you talking about?
Did she answer? No,
and nobody answered her. Except for her brother one time. Her brother answered one time.
Oh, you could have kicked his
but
ass.
But she's right no there deal. In the building. Yeah. You see right there in the building. You literally walk by her door. Like as Derek said, you walk underneath her on the Lafayette Avenue side. You literally walk by from the subway. You have to walk by just to walk turn into the courtyard for your building.
Correct.
If I'm visualizing this right,
yeah, you are
correct. But I say I'm good now. You know, I got over the movie. Get over the movie. I'm good now. I'm just right. saying, you know, it was a moment there that caught my life attention. That's all.
All right. And what again? Just to remind our audience, what was the moment in the movie that caught your attention?
When she was waiting for her girlfriend at the theater, at the foot of play, right. And he walked by, and she called out his name, and he called back her name, and they had a very good conversation.
Okay, so you've always imagined that moment between you and Monita.
Yeah, many many years ago, before I got remarried. Yes.
Okay, so let me just add some clarity to this circumstance. In the movie, there's a scene. That takes place, I would imagine, maybe 5-10 years after they had split up. And this is in the movie Sylvie's Love, the love interest. There was a torrid sort of summertime love affair. She had a boyfriend at the time, and the boyfriend was overseas, and she was right. He was right there, and so they had a hot summer romance. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the summer, you know, he had an opportunity to pursue his career and follow his career goals. So he had to leave town. He leaves town, and the boyfriend eventually comes back, and she and the boyfriend get married, and he's out of the picture. But she never stopped loving him, and then she sees him years later, just kind of randomly at a theater that she's going to, and they hook up again. Now, let's yes. compare and contrast that to you and Juanita.
Okay. If I would have spoke to my brother, like, maybe if I spoke to him, I could have had that torrid summer love. Maybe I shouldn't have just talked to Tony. Maybe I should have talked to Derek, and then it would have been a little different.
Of course it would have been. You know that, man. You know that.
Oh. So what you really want out of this whole situation before we move on, what you really want, it seems to me, is a time machine. Is that what I'm getting?
Oh yes. Like I tell you, that if the time machine was outside of the building that day, I would have jumped in it, definitely.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, we definitely talked about it. Yeah, that. So now all of that becomes clear. So I don't remember the name of the episode, but I will for next week, folks. If you're listening, I will find the episode so you can hear the genesis of this conversation. Because apparently over 40 years, this thing has been percolating in my cousin's heart and soul. And we finally got to the bottom of the ballad of Juanita. it's amazing to me. I mean, I don't know how long I've been thinking, wow, man, how come I never met Juanita? It's okay. I mean, I just figured, you know, it was a situation where it was somebody that was, you know, dating in the house or whatever, and you knew, and you know, just like we talked a few weeks ago about Derek and his supervisor. in that particular case, it was an actual thing, though. It was something going on, which is why, you know, things got kind of rocky later on. But this particular situation, if we could get Juanita on the air, I don't think she would remember.
Hey, watch yourself.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, I don't think because the way you remember it and the way she will remember it, it seems to me would be two totally different things.
That's yeah, if that call comes through and she says Q2, he's going to be done.
Lasting impression.
All right. I just hope she doesn't say Keith who, because if that happens, he's going to be done. He'll never show up on this podcast again. He'll be like in some corner just crying himself to sleep.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to see you in the shower in the fetal position, man, on the floor, just, you know, bawling. I'm just saying, this is one of those situations where it was puppy love. And, you know, and we all have our, you know, childhood puppy love crushes. We all do. Everybody has had that kind of heartbreak. But yours, but you know, I'm not pining over somebody that I knew in the fifth grade. I'm just saying, you know, just all right.
I got you, cuz.
Oh my God. Well, anyway, big weekend happened finally after weeks of speculation, about and conversations about the GOAT. We had an episode a couple weeks called talking about the GOAT, the baby GOAT. That argument has been settled. With Tom Brady winning his seventh ring. And Derek, and even though he doesn't watch football, definitely called it out a couple of weeks ago saying he would not bet against Tom Brady. You just can't, you know, you can't deny the accomplishment. And so just real quick, I mean, I know you didn't watch the game, Derek, but I'll take your take on just the magnitude of the history of the story. But I'll start with you first, Mark, your take.
Well, as much as we talked about it last time, he is definitely the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time. Not the greatest football player, and he's not even the greatest athlete. I don't think that's even an argument. But he's definitely the greatest quarterback of all time. As much as I want to slam him down, and there's also, you know, things you could parse about his career. 7 out of 10 or 11 or whatever.
Yeah, he's got a 70% winning percentage. 70%, 700% winning percentage.
Yeah, however he got there, he got there. So there's clearly something that he is really great at. And I think I said, I'm not sure if I said in the podcast or just off air, I think what makes him so good in those moments when he was with Belichick, I think Belichick had always given him, I equate it this way. If there's a multiple choice question for like a quarterback or a coach, you got four choices. Belichick was so good. He was essentially limited down to two, saying, listen, it's either A or B. You don't have to worry about C and D. And over the years, Brady has gotten to that point where he can just eliminate and make it down to just the A or B. And even more so, he just knows, okay, fine, it's not even, B is really not the option. It's just A. And he just makes it so simple so that you come up and you go, man, I can't get to, I can't rattle him. I can't do anything to fool him. He just has all the answers. So he's the best. He can process the information. I don't want to give it to him, but he is the best quarterback of all time. And 70% in anything is ridiculous.
Good take. Keith?
I agree with Mark, too. Greatest quarterback ever. Seven rings out of 10 chances. And to do it with a completely different team without Belichick is outstanding in itself. And I do give it to him. You know, there was a couple he shouldn't have won, but he won them. A win is a win, and that's where you have to look at it. So, as Mark said, not the greatest athlete, but very smart. He knows what to do with the ball. If you rush him, he's dumping it off, quick passes. If you give him time, he's throwing it down the field. What more can you say about that? So I give him his props on that.
All right, DP?
A few weeks ago, supervisor said, you know, who are the GOATs? And we talked about Michael Jordan, Serena, Tiger, I said Tom Brady, then you want to do Jim Brown and whoever else you want to throw in there. And I stuck with it. I says, yo, Brady, in spite of, yo, the boy, he's a winner. And with him going over to Tampa Bay and doing what he did, he done put some pressure on Belichick's ass. He's letting folks know, y'all think it was Belichick, but I'm that dude. I went over there in less than a season, we got the chip. Belichick, they got their asses whooped over there in New England. So hats off to Brady. Big shout out to my cousin, to one of the podcast members, son Mark Preston. Yes, indeed. System quarterback, call him what you want to call him back. He did ask for the acknowledgement. I'm acknowledging you. He's a bad man. Yes, indeed. I'm down with Brady.
you know, again, to everybody's point, and I've said it openly. I'm unapologetic about it. I am a Brady hater, but I'm not stupid. I cannot deny what my eyes have seen. He is by far the greatest winning quarterback. Now, if I am getting a quarterback, if I'm pulling a quarterback off the shelf to lead my team, it may not be him. But if I'm getting a quarterback off the shelf and I say, I just want a Super Bowl ring, you got to get him. You have to pick Tom Brady. You know, my nephew yesterday, you know, he was in his glory because my nephew was the biggest. Like I said, I said a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if it's proper. I don't know if it's the appropriate thing to say that my nephew is a Brady butt boy. But I don't know. Maybe there's another way to say it. I don't know. I'm not as articulate as I used to be. So I'm just going to go with Brady butt boy. But yes, he is absolutely correct in his assessment that, you know, in terms of winning, you have to give it to him. I think the way I look at Brady is somewhat the way I look at Bill Russell. Bill Russell is the greatest team sports winner of all time, 11 rings in 13 years. That number is just so insane, you can't even imagine it. But you would never think that, oh, wow, Bill Russell was the greatest center of all time.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Right? Right. You would never look at Bill Russell. You'd say Wilt, you know, Kareem. And you could list a bunch of centers that you would pick before you pick Bill Russell.
Yeah, he may not be top five or top 10 if you go with that. Right. But yeah, but the other part is, that's a great analogy.
But he is the greatest winning center of all time, the greatest team sport winner of all time. You can never ever take that away from him. And his greatness, I mean, I don't want people to think that I'm shitting on Bill Russell, because if you look at the books and the NBA statistics books, and you see Bill Russell's name, you'll see some really, really impressive numbers. But I'm just saying, if you were pulling centers, NBA centers off the shelf, you might go a long way before you'd get to Bill Russell. So I'm saying the same thing about Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the greatest winner of all time. He's the greatest winning quarterback, greatest championship winning quarterback of all time. But if I'm pulling quarterbacks off a shelf, he might not be the guy I'm pulling off the shelf.
No.
If I'm just starting a team, you know, from scratch. And, you know, so, you know, to my nephew's point, he made the statement about, I think Derek said this, about system quarterback. I'm going to say this. Going into week 12, after week 12, they were 7-5. 7-5, and at which point they had their bye week. And during their bye week, they installed Tom Brady's offense. They put in the plays that Tom Brady, like, they were struggling. He was struggling under Bruce Arians' offense. He's still a great quarterback, and they still had a, if you look the personnel on that team, Mark and I played, it's funny, Mark.
We played a week of that game.
Yeah, when I watched the game, I was so bored because I'd already seen all of that. I had seen every variation of the game, every commutation of the game we could possibly see, because we had played a week of simulations of that game. So I had already seen the game, and I was like, wow, you know, and that's why I said, I texted all you guys, I said, if Fournette can get, you know, close to 100 yards, it's a wrap. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. He was able to get almost 90 yards. He, you know, had the big touchdown run. Rojo was able to run the ball. I said, okay, this is over. But it was system quarterback in this regard. He didn't win with Bruce Arians' offense. They were winning, but they weren't doing well. When they put in his offense, the offense he likes to run, as Keith was talking about, the short passing, the quick dumps, and then the play action deep balls, then all of a sudden he looked a lot better in the Tampa Bay Buccaneer uniform, because he was looking very mortal for the first 12 weeks of the season. Remember, they got blown out by Kansas City. They got blown out by New Orleans. They got blown out, I think, by another the Rams came to town and whooped up on them. But after that season, after the 12th week, they put in their system and he looked a lot better. So, begrudgingly, he is the greatest winner in football, one of the greatest winners in team sports ever. Nick Wright, who's on Fox Sports, first things first, I'm going to shout him out. Nick Wright had a great take. He said that Tom Brady's win now moves him into a new room, a space that he had not occupied, and that had only been occupied by one other person. LeBron James. LeBron James took a team that was a laughingstock to a title. He left that team, went to another team, and got another title. He's gotten three titles on three different teams. In other words, the winning followed him. And so to Derek's point, when Tom Brady leaves New England, New England is a shit team. They can't do nothing. But Tom Brady, in his first year of the new team, brings the winning with him, and they win a Super Bowl. So he and LeBron have that in common. You know, Michael Jordan, Lick Wright's made the point that Michael Jordan won all his championships in the same system with the same coach. And when he went elsewhere, he didn't bring all that with him. You know, we grew up in the 80s, and I watched the Showtime Lakers, and I watched the Boston Celtics. And the Showtime Lakers, when pieces of that team left, even though they still had good pieces, Magic was not able to make Vlade Divac enough to get over the top. Yeah, even when Kareem won a championship in Milwaukee, he goes to Los Angeles. He's not even able to elevate that team to championship contention until Magic Johnson shows up. So I'm just saying that Tom Brady and LeBron James are two guys capable of bringing the winning with them no matter where they go. And in that regard, they stand alone in this GOAT conversation.
Agree.
Yeah, can't add much to that.
No. Yeah, I mean, like I said,
the only slight thing I push back on Wright, because the only slight thing I'd push back on the Wright argument was when he said that Jordan, by the time Jordan got to the Wizards, I mean, he retired a couple of years? Cause he had
2 years off.
Yeah, he was more than washed. It'd be different, like, if, say, Jordan had left the second. If he had come back from baseball, won three championships with the Bulls, the second three-peat, and then went to the Wizards, he was still in his mode. If he had done that and then, say, flamed out, but when he got the Wizards, he wasn't quite Willie Mays falling in the outfield, but he was kind of washed.
Damn, man. Why you talking about Willie like that, man?
Love Willie Mays, but I mean, he was dropping fly balls in the outfield.
Did I say anything wrong?
He was up in age.
Did I say anything wrong?
No, you say nothing wrong. Okay. But you ain't had to use Willie. You could use somebody else.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, listen, the Say Hey Kid is to me the greatest baseball player of all time. But he was dropping fly balls. I think that's another thing too. I mean, you make a point about Jordan being washed. Here's the thing that you have to look at LeBron James and Tom Brady. As I said, they're in the same room. These guys are still playing their respective sports at the highest level. They're still championship contenders after almost 20 years each in the league.
Yeah, well, you know, those boys go home at night. Michael wasn't always going home.
Michael was hanging out.
He was hanging out in some clubs. He was hanging out in some rooms, playing some cards and doing other things.
Smoking a cigar, you know, playing golf.
Tom goes home. LeBron goes home. I don't think Michael goes home.
He's out there with Tom. He was out there with Tiger Woods, you know, in Vegas, apparently. I finally saw the documentary, you know, and I see your point, Derek. Yes, I think I mentioned it last week that Tiger Woods certainly is in a class by himself when it comes to golfers. And Jack Nicklaus may have the majors numbers, but Tiger Woods is the best to ever do it, period. I don't care what I mean. After watching that documentary, I don't care who they bring up there. He is the best to ever do it. Again, Tom Brady definitely changed that one win changed the NFL forever. It changed the narratives. First of all, now you have to question, like Derek said, whether Bill Belichick is the great genius that we all gave him credit for. Mm-hmm. Because remember, prior to Tom Brady, you know, here's who I think should also have 7 rings. And I hope Tom Brady sends him at least one of his 7. Mo Lewis.
He's a play for the Jets.
Oh, he's a guy who damn near killed up Bledsoe.
Yeah, right. Former linebacker for the New York Jets. If he does not knock out, if he doesn't cave in Drew Bledsoe's chest, Tom Brady never gets off the bench and we never see any of this. And Belichick may have been fired because his winning, he was sub 500 before Brady came into the league. So Mo Lewis needs to get at least one ring for his contribution. He should get in the Hall of Fame for that, by the way, because Tom Brady is a clear first ballot Hall of Famer, and Mo Lewis is responsible for that boy going to 10 Super Bowls and winning 7 of them, then damn it, he got to get in there. They got to put him in there. I don't care what his
and not only this particular run for Tom, I mean, think about it. He went through Breeze at Breeze's place. Rodgers at his place, and I got Super Bowl, but through the defending champion, and it wasn't MVP, but more recent MVP. Oh, he went through the current MVP. I'm sorry, the MVP a couple of years ago, the current MVP for the championship game, a previous MVP in his place. I mean, that's a pretty good run. He wasn't like he was knocking out Jared Goff and you know, some other no names. He did knock out Jared Goff, but he was taking out big boys.
You know what? I watched Super Bowls for the longest, and I always thought when you go in at halftime, you make adjustments. You don't stay with the same system that you've been working with because the game has changed. You know, you see these guys throwing the short passes, the quick runs, but you're not adjusting to anything that you're doing.
You know, you don't have the personnel to do it. I mean, KC was never – that wasn't there. They weren't the 2000 Ravens.
I understand that, but what do you got to lose? The talent there
– they don't. You know what I'm saying? That KC doesn't have the defensive talent to deal with – people were, you know, screaming and hollering how great KC offense is, and they're absolutely right. But, I mean, if you look at the weapons that Brady has – stud in Mike Evans, pain in the ass, but stud in Antonio Brown, stud in Gronk, who's not even the best tight end on that team. The other guy is the better tight end, but he's hurt. The running back, Ronald Jones, and then you take top three running back or draft wise, Fournette is your backup. Godwin and that boy. Godwin, it's like they got. It wasn't like they were out there running with. He didn't have the Ravens offensive weaponry. He has tons and tons of weapons, and then you take that mind to be able to process information. It was just a lot for a team that doesn't have a great defense in KC. They're relying on, if I can keep you in around 20-ish, we'll be okay. Well, that didn't make a difference.
Well, I think the big mistake the point I was making is that this win changes the dynamic for a lot of people. People was talking about Andy Reid is one of the, you know, that was supposed to be the next debate, whether Andy Reid and Bill Belichick would vie for greatest coaches ever or greatest, you know, coaching geniuses ever. And then all of a sudden that goes out the board because Andy Reid kind of shit the bed in terms of his coach. Like you said, they didn't make any coaching adjustments. They come out of the second half. They run the ball straight down their throats. And they get a quick score. You know, it was 3 points, but they showed that demonstration. They showed that they could run the ball. In fact, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was averaging about 7 yards a carry, and then they stopped running the ball. He ran it nine times, 63 yards, and they didn't run anymore. And you have a situation where you can't protect your quarterback. So the best way to protect your quarterback is to run the ball. They were in cover two. The best way to attack cover two is to run the ball. They didn't do it. So Andy Reid and his coaching staff dropped the ball.
Because, Anthony, do you remember Le'Veon Bell playing?
Le'Veon, yeah. He didn't play.
He didn't play. And I'm like, he was healthy. But they didn't even have him out there running. And I couldn't understand that either.
Didn't have him out there running. And Le'Veon Bell is you guys had him as a Steeler fan. He's a great pass catcher.
Very good receiver.
Yes. And they ain't even use
them. Hey, fellas. Hey, do you guys think Andy Reid's son getting into that little misfortunate accident had anything to do with the way they coached that team and not making the adjustments, you know, thinking about his baby boy having to do some prison time possibly?
I thought about that. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think it definitely had a play on, but I think – but that happened on this game. That happened on Friday night or Saturday?
Friday or Thursday night, I think it was. Thursday.
Okay, so by that point, as NFL teams will always tell you, all the preparation, all the plans are already done. So you just waiting for the cake to come out the oven. There was no more like, it'd be different like if it, say it happened earlier, like last week, mm-hmm. where you're doing the install. At this point, everything's already done. I think they just got out coached. I mean, I think Leftwich had a great offensive plan. That boy Bowles put a defensive whooping on Andy Reid and Bieniemy. I just think they just got out coached from the two, because it wasn't like they won 31-30. They won 31-9. So yeah. they got smoked on both halves. So I think this got out coached. And it happens. Sometimes you get your ass whooped.
Yep. Well, again, I mean, you know, this is going back to the games we played. You know, there was lessons that were learned. I knew, and I was telling a friend of mine who's actually betting on the game. I said some of the prop bets are going to be where you're going to make money. I knew that Fournette was going to get more than 60 yards rushing. I felt like Tom Brady would throw for less than 250 yards. And both of those things happened. I also felt like Kansas City, based on our games, I knew Kansas City could run the ball, but you had to be willing to run the ball. And as Keith said, you know, I mean, he didn't run it at all. I mean, they left Le'Veon Bell, didn't get a single carry. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire is averaging 7 yards a carry, you got to give him the ball. As far as Andy Reid's son is concerned, Derek, I think this is the second time he's been in some major league insanity, some bullshit. I don't know why. It seems like he was in some kind of heavy trouble before for some nonsense, you know. And he is looking at jail time because he definitely that little girl, whoever the drive, you know, you got a DWI and almost killed a little girl,
yeah, 5-year-old girl.
Yeah, I mean, look. You know, I know that's kind of weighing heavy on Andy Reid, but this is not the first time
No, you're right, Anthony. When he was in Philly, because I think both his boys have substance problems, and right. I believe he was in Philly and he had to step away for a little bit. I think like it was towards the end of the year, but he stepped away to kind of essentially take care of his house. So I assume, and I logically assumed, I guess they got their act together and things were going right, but if you have substance problems, I guess you always have substance problems, even if, you know, it's the classic one day at a time. And I guess that day ended and they relapsed, or he relapsed, and things look bad. So, yeah, he's sitting on the sideline. I'm pretty sure you're sitting on the sidelines. I mean, we all have families, and most people, unless you're Belichick, and I'm probably slandering him, most people have a tough time concentrating on jobs when things at home are kind of crazy. I mean, you may sit there and be there and think, but your mind drifts. And you wander and you miss slight things. Like, this may sound stupid, but the slight thing I think they missed at the end, but going into halftime, Tampa was willing to run the clock out. They were saying, you know what? Because they ran the ball on the first play and got to stop. They were willing to run the clock out. I would have let them run the clock out and you reset your gears, but I think that's a slight gaffe because he kind of called the timeout and he was like, oh, you're going to, you don't play with this? Okay, fine. And next thing you know, there's a touchdown. They were willing to run the clock out. You'd have been down, was it 14-6?
14-6.
So you're down a score. You're only down a score. I think that's one of those times where it's maybe psychobabble, but I think that's when you have a mental lapse where he would have just said a logic saying, you know, let me just get out of this halftime. Let me just reset the clock. You know, we're only down a score. As poorly as we've played, as much grabbing and holding, we're only down a score of my team. Let me just kind of get this going. And when you have things that happen like that at home, you kind of miss that, and next thing you know, you go down from being a score to being down 21-6, and at that point, like you said in the chat, it felt like 40 points.
Yeah.
Right. You know why? Because when I said it when it went to 21-6, my thought is exactly what you were saying, what you were alluding to. It would have been a 14-8 game, and I thought to myself, as soon as I said, I was watching, I said, wow, they're either going to get out of the half, it's going to be 14-8, because I didn't think they were going to take a shot. I figured they would be smarter than Green Bay and just have, you know, drop everybody back and make them, you know, try to do something really, really dramatic. And Tom Brady's not going to, you know, risk the ball when they have an 8-point game. And I thought, I said, wow, they're going to the half at 14-8. As bad as they 14-6, played.
14-6, I mean, down by 8.
14-6. Down by 8. 14-6. As bad as they played, as you said, they're only down by a score. As bad as they played, all of the gaffes, all of the missteps, they would have been all right going in, saying to themselves, okay, you know what, we're a second half team. Their energy would have been like, you know, we can do this. We've seen their best. We know what they're doing. Let's do this, yeah, and we'll come back and win the second half. Because that's what I think a lot of people were waiting for. They were waiting for that 30-point run, almost like a basketball run. And then they go down 21-6. All of a sudden now, to me, it's psychologically, I said, man, that feels like 50 points. Yeah. That felt like a 50-point swing. It went from eight points down to whatever it was, a 15-point game against that defense, which was not giving up. It was making it really, really hard to score. I still felt that they had a chance, but if it's 14-8, you play a little different. You can still run the ball. You can still kind of, in the words of late Hank Stram, you can still matriculate the ball down the field.
That's a good call.
Slowly and not worry about the clock, but you're down 21-6 and they get, and you don't score. All of a sudden now the clock is your enemy, because if they get the ball and they score again, whether it's 24 or 28, which is what they did, we went up 28-6, now the game is over.
Yeah.
So that may have been that moment where his child was on his mind and kind of ruined it for him. It was probably the moment when your child was on my mind with his Tom Brady nonsense and ruined it for me. So, anybody, our audience does not know, but my nephew, your cousin, is just did not stop. You know how I know it was bad? Because nobody responded to it. There's like 10 of us on this feed, and nobody said a word because we did not want to get it.
No,
fired.
That's too long. You wake up and like, I missed 200 messages.
that's what it's been.
Yeah. No, you leave that alone. You know, that's don't start that fire.
In any event, like I said, we have a new goat, and I will leave it there to my nephew P squared. I will let him know that, yes, he is the GOAT, and I'm going to move on and end this goddamn podcast, because the more I think about it, the madder I get. But if you have not subscribed to Power to the People, that's not a me problem. That's a you problem. You have been missing out on some of the best product and commentary on the internets. So you need to subscribe to Power to the People. Where can you get Power to the People? Anywhere you get your podcast, you can find us, whether it's Apple or iHeart or Stitcher. You can even ask Alexa to play your Power to the People. And Alexa will say, well, what episode? And she'll just play it right away. She'll play the latest episode, and you can ask her for any preceding episode, and Alexa will play Power to the People. You can also find us on social media at Twitter on Powell to the Peeps, P-O-W-E-L-L, the number 2, letters D-A-P-E-E-P-S, Powell to the Peeps on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Powell to the People on Facebook. Same deal. You go to the Facebook page, you click on the action button to listen to the latest podcast, and it'll take you right to it. So you can go do that. You can find us on our host site at Podbean. So anywhere you get your podcast, you can find us. You can also find us on Instagram, Comic Tony Powell on Instagram, and they don't know who they are on Instagram, but that's okay.
Are you back?
Yeah.
No, Twitter is this.
Oh, Twitter got you there.
I'm still on Twitter. Hell, I don't know what I did, man. I feel like I, you know what? They letting insurgents out on bail. insurgents out on bail. They let that boy Rittenhouse, whatever his name,
yeah. One of the shots, yeah.
He's out on bail. They can't even find him. He disappeared. They can't find him. He's out on bail. I said, okay, Boris, I've been banned from Twitter. It's insane. It's really insane. But if y'all listening to Twitter, y'all know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. But that's okay. If you're listening to the Power to the People and you subscribe, I will forgive all of that nonsense. In any event, we will see you all next week. Peace.
Peace. Peace.